I think without further delay, I'll go ahead and begin the press conference today. I'd like to begin by introducing myself. My name is Randy Rydell. I'm a senior political affairs officer in the UN's Office for Disarmament Affairs. I'd like to also make a note that this press conference is also being webcast, so there's quite a large audience for this beyond who's in the room right now. The UN is a place where member states grapple with changes facing all humanity: oceans, climate, justice, human rights, sustainable development, the goal of a healthy planet for future generations and our own. One of these is disarmament. Ban Ki-moon has called disarmament a global public good of the highest order. Now, despite the global scope of these problems, policies of individual states matter and can make a positive difference globally. The World Future Council annually honors exemplary policies that serve such goals, the Future Policy Award. Today, the World Future Council, in partnership with the Interparliamentary Union and Office for Disarmament Affairs, will announce winners of the 2013 Future Policy Awards, which this year will be in the field of disarmament. I would like to urge speakers to please be brief and allow time for questions and answers. We must end before noon. Thank you very much. The first speaker I would like to introduce is Mr. Jacob van Uxkull, the founder and chair of the World Future Council. And he will give us an introduction to the World Future Council's policy award on disarmament. Mr. Uxkull.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at the World Future Council, we address challenges to our common future by identifying and spreading best policies around the globe. With our Future Policy Award, we celebrate policies that create better living conditions for current and future generations. The aim of this award is to raise global awareness for these exemplary policies and speed up policy action towards just, sustainable, and peaceful societies. The 2013 award highlights disarmament policies that contribute to the achievement of peace, sustainable development, and security. The World Future Council feels that policy progress on disarmament is particularly urgent. Events in 2013 have, of course, again underlined this. We've been reminded of the scourge of chemical warfare. Meanwhile, the continued existence of nuclear weapons casts a long shadow over humanity's achievements and poses an existential threat to life on Earth as we know it. The unbridled production and trafficking of conventional weapons heightens tensions, undermines peace processes, fuels armed violence, and prevents the achievement of sustainable development and human security. And explosive remnants of war, such as landmines and cluster munitions, are still ravaging communities and livelihoods, killing and injuring civilians long after a conflict has ended. All this comes at an intolerable human price. It also comes with a staggering price tag. Global military spending reportedly exceeded $1.7 trillion in 2012. Such expenditure diverts precious resources from human needs. In addition, scientific research into the development and maintenance of weapons diverts many of our most brilliant minds from vital socioeconomic and public health research. In the words of the UN Secretary General, the world is overarmed and peace is underfunded. Disarmament is vital to realizing humanity's aspirations to achieve international peace and security and to ensure that we bequeath to future generations a cleaner, safer, more peaceful, and sustainable world. By celebrating tried and tested policies for sustainable disarmament, the 2013 Future Policy Award provides a roadmap for the implementation of disarmament obligations and objectives, which can inspire policymakers around the world to take similar initiatives. Looking at the winning policies, one cannot but feel hopeful, an all too rare sentiment when working on disarmament affairs. We will hear in a minute which policies have won this year's award, but I can say that we were heartened to see that in response to our call for nominations, we received nominations for over 24 exemplary disarmament policies. So good disarmament policies do exist. Disarmament is not just a lofty ideal, but but an objective to be pursued with vigor, which can bring huge benefits to societies and strengthen international peace and security. Indeed, the UN High Representative for Disarmament Affairs, Angela Kain, said it best when she noted on this year's award that while the honored recipients will receive special recognition, the real winners are the citizens of our common planet. I want to end by expressing thanks to our Future Policy Award jury, which so skillfully executed the very hard task of selecting the winning policies, and to our partners on this award, the UN Office for Disarmament Affairs and the Interparliamentary Union. It has been an absolute pleasure and honor to work together, and we are deeply grateful for their support, expertise, and commitment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before introducing the next speaker, Mr. Anders Jonsson, the Secretary General of the Interparliamentary Union, who will speak on the IPU's work in disarmament and also comment on the honorable mentions, I would just like to say that the IPU has had its own impressive record in support of nuclear disarmament and nonproliferation through its resolutions, encouraging of networking, and publications. This is a very impressive record, especially given the fact of the many competing priorities and demands that legislators face around the world. It is very impressive that they have been able to keep a focus on disarmament as they have. Mr. Jonsson.
Thank you very much. Very kind of you. For the record, the organization that I am proud to represent counts 163 countries amongst their members, countries that are represented in the organization by national parliaments. And if nuclear disarmament is on our agenda, it is because there is a very strong wish amongst our members to advance on this. And as you know, if you want to advance on nuclear disarmament, you have to raise public support for it, you have to create political will, and one of the actors, there are many, but one of the actors that you need to convince and have on your side are the members of parliament and the politicians and the political leaders. So what we are doing in the organization for several years now, we are publishing tools like this, handbooks for parliamentarians, which contains practical things that they can do in order to advance with the nuclear disarmament agenda. And basically, I'm trying to, through our work, identify best practices and policies and how to spread the cause, so to speak. My task here is entirely agreeable. I am going to introduce the four policies that have been selected for an honorable mention. And there are four policies that are in different ways very unique initiatives. The first one is an amendment to laws in Belgium on arms and ammunition that dates back to 1995, and also a law from the same country on economic and individual activities with weapons that dates to 2006. And what these two laws did in Belgium was that they respectively prohibited anti-personnel mines and cluster munition. And it was the first country in the world that actually did this. And by doing it, they actually helped strengthen, lead, provide support to, and shape the international processes that eventually led to the adoption of the two global treaties in this area, the 1997 Mine Ban Treaty and the 2008 Convention on Cluster Munitions. So the first mention goes to Belgium for those very timely initiatives. The second one goes to Costa Rica for an initiative that dates back to the adoption of Article 12 of the Costa Rican Constitution, introduced in 1949. And basically what it did was it abolished the Costa Rica's army. This is a historical move. No one had ever done that before. It is the first country in the world to formally enshrine demilitarization in its constitution. Overall, the policy, what it achieves is it aims at redirecting military expenditure towards social programs. And by having done it, disarmament is now recognized as a central part of Costa Rica's national identity, and the promotion of peace is a fundamental element of its foreign policy. The third initiative mentioned goes to Mongolia. Mongolia adopted a policy in 2000 which transforms it into a nuclear weapons-free status country. The initiative stands out again as being a very innovative initiative because it is not part of a regional initiative. It's not part of a deal or an agreement with other country. It is simply a country that decide that it is going to be a nuclear weapons-free country. And that it doesn't seek security through alliances or it doesn't extend deterrence. Mongolia did it simply by prohibiting the stationing, the manufacturing, the testing, and the ownership of nuclear weapons on its territory. And then the fourth and last honorable mention goes to Mozambique and South Africa, who concluded an agreement in respect of cooperation and mutual assistance in the field of crime combating. This is an issue that goes back to 1995. At that time, Mozambique was emerging from 16 years of civil war, and you may recall that there was an extraordinary amount of weapons that were available on the Mozambican territory. So this joint venture between South Africa and Mozambique has the aim to curb the proliferation of weapons, assist in their destruction, and promote cooperation in related criminal areas. By this policy and the programs that it helped generate, more than 24 million units of ammunition and over 32,000 rifles and as well as other firearms, projectiles, rockets, grenades, and mines were identified and destroyed. And very importantly, this initiative of these two countries has also been replicated by other countries in the region, notably South Africa, Namibia, and Angola. So four very different initiatives from four different parts of the world, all unique in their way, but all of them having set a trend and showed that disarmament in this field is eminently possible. Thank you.
Thank you. I now have the privilege of introducing my boss, actually one of my colleagues in the Office for Disarmament Affairs. Virginia Gamba is Director of the Office for Disarmament Affairs and also Deputy to the High Representative for Disarmament Affairs. She will speak on the role of ODA in this area and also discuss the Silver Award winner. Virginia has a distinguished record as an international scholar and policy advisor on issues including human security, nuclear proliferation, small arms management, peace support, and several other areas. She combines her scholarship with a very close connection to practical problem solving in these areas. Virginia, very much I welcome you to this panel. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rami. I am indeed pleased to be able to join the colleagues from the World Future Council and the Inter-Parliamentarian Union to announce the winners of the World Future Policy 2013 Awards. Let me first say a few words about the work of the Office for Disarmament Affairs before turning to announce the Silver Prize winners. We work with UN member states in a number of fora to promote nuclear disarmament and non-proliferation, as well as for the strengthening of the disarmament regimes in respect to other weapons of mass destruction, such as chemical and biological weapons. We also work for disarmament efforts in the area of conventional weapons, especially small arms, which, as you know, are the weapons of choice in many contemporary conflicts. An equally important part of our work is carried out with civil society, especially NGOs, today's events being a prime example. We actively promote the involvement of NGOs in the intergovernmental processes on disarmament and seek their full participation. Our outreach efforts are often carried out with partners to raise awareness and support disarmament efforts. That is why we were keen to partner with the World Future Council and the Inter-Parliamentarian Union on promoting disarmament policies that contribute to peace, sustainable development, and human security. I think we do believe that progress on disarmament can deliver global benefits for sustainable development. That brings me to the Silver Prize winners. The outstanding success of Argentina's national program for the voluntary surrender of firearms has been recognized today with the Silver Award. Ongoing and effective collaboration between Argentina's National Arms Registry and the civil society Argentine Disarmament Network in the implementation of a gun and ammunition buyback has led to the impressive destruction of over 148,000 firearms and 1 million ammunition units. Mobile reception points have allowed the program to visit towns and cities all over Argentina, not only to destroy the firearms, but also to educate the public at large on the risks of having a weapon in the home and how to promote a culture of peace. As a native of Argentina, and having lived and worked in other parts of the world where armed violence is all too common, I know how important this is. It is no small surprise that New Zealand has also featured in the prize list. It is well known for its unstinting efforts towards nuclear disarmament. The 1987 New Zealand Nuclear Free Zone Arms Control and Disarmament Act has also been granted a Silver Award for one of the strongest existing legal prohibitions against nuclear weapons. Its strong normative effects on building the nuclear prohibition principle and setting a precedent for other countries to follow. I am very pleased that these very different but equally important Silver Award-winning contributions have been recognized by the World Future Council panel of distinguished judges who reviewed some 25 nominated policies before coming to today's well-deserving winners. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's now my great honor to introduce Mr. Uxkull again to announce the grand prize, the gold winner of the 2013 Foreign Future Policy Award. Thank you.
Thank you. We have already heard about an impressive range of disarmament policies, each of which has contributed to the achievement of peace and security between and in nations, which is obviously also a basic precondition for sustainable development. So if you're looking for good political news in this age of anti-political cynicism, here are such news. There can, of course, only be one gold award winner, and it's my pleasure to inform you that the 2013 Future Policy Gold Award goes to the Treaty for the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons in Latin America and the Caribbean, better known as the Treaty of Tlatelolco. The Future Policy Award jury honors the 1967 Treaty of Tlatelolco with a gold award for its invaluable contribution to advancing regional peace and security, as well as creating a precedent and inspiration for subsequent nuclear weapon-free zones and providing impetus to the global elimination of nuclear weapons. By prohibiting nuclear weapons in the region, the treaty was timely in terms of addressing the immediate threat posed by the vertical spread of nuclear weapons into the region from external nuclear powers. Importantly, it was also far-sighted in the prevention of a horizontal spread of nuclear weapons, as some of the larger states in the region began to develop nuclear energy industries, giving them the potential option for the future development of nuclear weapons. Through the Tlatelolco Treaty, Latin America and the Caribbean loudly and clearly said no to nuclear weapons. After the Cuban Missile Crisis brought the nuclear madness of the Cold War days on its doorstep, the region rejected in no uncertain terms the notion that you can base your security on these instruments of annihilation. Today, Latin America is one of the most secure regions in the world from nuclear conflict. Therefore, it's also most able to deploy its economic capacity and resources for economic and social development rather than expanding them on unproductive nuclear arms races that only serve to undermine such regional security. The treaty has been outstandingly successful in gaining legally binding ratification for all 33 countries in Latin America and the Caribbean. This includes countries such as Argentina and Brazil with highly developed nuclear industries, as well as the one country which once hosted nuclear weapons from an external nuclear weapon state, Cuba. Most importantly, as the first to successfully implement a fully-fledged, legally binding nuclear weapon-free zone policy in a highly populated area, the Treaty of Tlatelolco serves as a legal precedent, an example of multilateral cooperation, and is an inspiration to other regions. The significance of this success is demonstrated by the fact that to date, 114 UN member states, more than half of the United Nations membership, have signed regional nuclear weapon-free zone treaties, with 91 states having ratified such treaties already. To varying degrees, these treaties have been based only on the Tlatelolco model. As a result, the entire southern hemisphere, together with large parts of the northern hemisphere, is now militarily denuclearized. The late Mexican ambassador, Alfonso Garcia Robles, Nobel Peace Prize laureate for his crucial role in launching and implementing the Tlatelolco Treaty, was all too aware of the treaty's potential in this regard when he said, "Nuclear weapons-free zones not only contribute to averting regional nuclear proliferation, but also lead to global nuclear disarmament. We should attempt to achieve a gradual broadening of the zones of the world from which nuclear weapons are prohibited to a point where the territories of powers which possess those terrible tools of mass destruction will become something like contaminated islets subject to quarantine." Finally, by establishing OPANAL, an agency dedicated to ensuring compliance, the Tlatelolco Treaty set a precedent that has led to the establishment of such agencies in other regions. OPANAL's contribution is demonstrated by its continuing engagement initiatives to promote the treaty around the world, educate on the need for nuclear disarmament, and strengthen cooperation between all states belonging to nuclear weapon-free zones. We're honored to have the former OPANAL Secretary General, Ambassador Gioconda Ubeda Rivera, with us today. She will be with us today. It's also fitting that this award is being bestowed on the Tlatelolco Treaty at the United Nations, as this organization offered such critical support to the establishment and implementation of the treaty. Although nearly half a century old now, the treaty's gold award win today is very well deserved. Indeed, the treaty was initiated as a policy for the future, and it is still uniquely relevant today. With the Future Policy Award, we celebrate policies that create better living conditions for current and future generations. The Treaty of Tlatelolco has done precisely that. Alfonso Garcia Robles noted on the 14th of February 1967, after the treaty had been negotiated, "We have worked for the benefit not only of our own countries and of Latin America, but also in this world of interdependence in which we live, for the good of mankind." This year's winning policies originate from across the globe and reveal a wide range of policy solutions to disarmament challenges. The 2013 Future Policy Award jury felt that an emphasis should be placed on disarmament of that uniquely destructive weapon, the nuclear weapon. It is our hope that the award will give further impetus to global efforts to do away with this instrument of terror. This will be one of the greatest legacies we can leave for future generations. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We are indeed quite honored that Ambassador Ubeda is here with us today. She's the former General Secretary of OPANAL, the Agency for the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons in Latin America and the Caribbean. Ambassador Ubeda, please, I welcome you to the podium. Thank you.
Thank you. Muchas gracias. Les puedo asegurar que estoy muy emocionada de recibir esta noticia, este premio de oro por una política que fue tomada hace casi 50 años.
I can assure you that I'm very excited and I'm very happy to be presented with this award for an initiation that began almost 50 years ago.
Por los estados de la América Latina y después se sumaron también los del Caribe.
by an initiative that was started in America, in Latin America, and then it continued through the Caribbean.
Esta política que se tomó hace casi 50 años cambió la historia de América Latina y el Caribe y por supuesto de sus pueblos.
This policy that started almost 50 years ago changed the history not only of Latin America and the Caribbean, but of all its people.
Para que tengamos una idea, podemos resumirlo diciendo que 5 generaciones se han visto afectadas positivamente por esta decisión política.
So that we can have an idea, we can say that 5 generations have benefited from this policy.
Mis abuelos, mis padres, mi generación, la de mis hijos y mis nietos.
My grandparents' generation, my father's generation, my son's generations, and also my grandchildren's generation.
Y puedo asegurarles que por la potencia que tiene esa política plasmada en el Tratado de Tlatelolco, seguirán beneficiándose las futuras generaciones.
And I can assure you that because of the strength behind the policy of the Treaty of Tlatelolco, more generations to come will be benefited from it.
También el Tratado de Tlatelolco ha sido un ejemplo a seguir, como sabemos, por otras zonas libres de armas nucleares que fueron creadas en el mundo.
Also, the Treaty of Tlatelolco has been an example to follow for other nuclear weapon-free zones that had been developed afterwards.
No quiero hablar mucho de las virtudes del Tratado de Tlatelolco porque creo que ya se ha dicho en esta presentación bastante sobre ello. Solo he querido resaltar algunos elementos importantes de esta política que sin duda alguna ha sido visionaria, innovadora, ejemplificante y sigue manteniendo actualidad.
I wouldn't want to spend the whole time saying about the virtues because I think that enough has been said about it, but I would like to highlight some elements about the visionary innovation characteristics that make it so current even today.
Quiero no solamente agradecer a World Future Council y a sus asociados, la Oficina para Asuntos de Desarme de las Naciones Unidas y la Unión Interparlamentaria, sino también felicitarlos por esta tan acertada decisión.
I want to congratulate and thank the World Future Council and its associates, the Interparliamentary Union, for this relevant and important decision.
De otorgar el premio este año al tema de seguridad, desarme y desarrollo sostenible.
For granting this year an award regarding policies regarding disarmament and sustainable development.
Creo que no hay un mejor momento para ello, sabiendo que estamos a las puertas de una nueva etapa para impulsar los trabajos hacia el desarme nuclear total y general.
I think that it comes in a better moment now that we are on a brink of working towards the total freedom from nuclear weapons.
Este reconocimiento es tomado por el OPANAL y los 33 estados de América Latina y el Caribe, a quien estoy representando en este acto.
This award is taken behalf that I'm taking on behalf of the 33 states of Latin America and Caribbean and the Caribbean.
Como un compromiso con la paz y la seguridad internacionales.
As a compromise with the world peace and the security of the world.
Reconocer a las mejores prácticas.
To recognize the better practices.
Es darle aliento a es darle aliento
is to give encouragement
a políticas que también tienen que impactar a las futuras generaciones.
The policies that also need to impact future generations.
Muchas gracias en nombre de OPANAL y de sus 33 estados.
Thank you very much on behalf of OPANAL and its 33 states.
Thank you. Thank you, Ambassador Omeda. Thank you so much. I see we have a number of questioners, and unfortunately, we have completely run out of time. We have to vacate the room right now. I am inviting all media and reminding them that they are invited to the gala event this evening in Conference Room 3, and there will be opportunities there for you to ask questions to people at that event. So this is not the end of the story here. I am pleased to conclude this meeting that despite all the troubles that we have in the world of armed conflicts and armed races and nuclear weapon stockpiles, that there are such things as enlightened policies, and they are working, and they do have possibilities for progress in the future. I thank all speakers for their attention and all who came to this briefing today. Thank you all very much. It's 6:15 in Conference Room 3, which is located in the main Secretariat building.
Any chance you could run over a few minutes? And
I would like to thank you on behalf of the UN Correspondents Association. It's Pamela Falk from CBS News. My question is about, since, and felicitaciones para Tlatelolco, what is your view of the proposals for a Middle East nuclear-free zone? And what is your sense of the biggest challenge to the Non-Proliferation Treaty? Some people believe that the growth of nuclear power, is presenting problems for dual-use challenges. Thank you.
Well, we are certainly very much in favor, and I know several of our council has been working on the project of a nuclear weapons-free zone in the Middle East. And you're, of course, quite right that we've always been told that there is this distinction between civilian nuclear power and military nuclear power. And we have found out now in the Iranian situation that is not the case. You know, the world doesn't know which is which. So there is that is certainly, you know, one reason why we are, and the other reason, be very skeptical about, you know, nuclear power as such. And I think, you know, the West, my personal opinion is the West has to stop its hypocritical attitude and realize that there is, you know, has been for decades a nuclear weapons power in the Middle East. And if we don't deal with that issue, then we can't really deal with the whole issue of a nuclear weapons free zone.
What about the UK? What about UK nuclear weapons and the Malvinas? I know it's a major issue in Latin America, and I'm wondering, you mentioned Cuba, but was this considered at all in awarding the prize? What do you say about that issue?
It wasn't discussed by the jury, but I mean, it certainly, you know, is an issue which, you know, I'm very glad that you're highlighting it. I think it's quite remarkable how the governments like the UK are saving on quality of life expenses, but they still seem to have the money to continue with nuclear weapons, which are, you know, be completely useless in a conflict situation.
I just wanted to ask a brief question on the nuclear thing. Why is the IAEA still stressing nuclear power? Because it seems like a 1960 concept. It often leads to enriched uranium, not just in Iran, but people get ambitious ideas. And it's, you know, there's now solar energy, there's all sorts of other things. But you certainly don't have a policy of disarmament if you're pushing nuclear power.
Well, I can't answer that specifically. Maybe my colleagues can, but I want to say that that's, of course, a reason why councillors of the World Future Council were very involved and have been very active in the creation of IRENA, the International Renewable Energies Agency. Thank you.
Once again, I wish to thank the speakers very much for their thoughtful patience in dealing with this limited time that we have, and I appreciate all in the audience as well. Thank you very much. We have to vacate the room. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.